Hi, I'm Scott Cotton with the University of Wyoming Extension. Every year, producers in the Rocky Mountain West face disaster risk. Some of those often include wildfires and blizzards. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some measures that you can take to mitigate some of those risks and reduce livestock losses and other issues related to these disasters. As I mentioned, I'm Scott Cotton with the University of Wyoming Extension. I'm also with the Disaster Education Network. And my emphasis is always on agriculture. So let's talk about some of the things that we can do to mitigate. That means reduce the losses when we're dealing with blizzards and wildfires. So let's start with blizzards. Blizzards are a normal thing in Wyoming, and sometimes they don't cause much of a case, and it's the same thing for the rest of the Rocky Mountain states. But we do have risk periods. We have periods when if a blizzard comes along, it hits us harder than other times. And they tend to be, if we're having a warm fall and we're trying to push the edge, and that happens after drought years, we're trying to stay out there just a little bit longer on summer pasture and use that rangeland before we move to our winter resources. And our livestock have short hair. So one period where we get these really bad impacts from blizzards is if we get a big blizzard in fall, especially anytime from early fall into a fall where we do not expect anything because we've been dealing with drought. So you need to be ready to treat it like it's winter. And that's one of those periods. The other time when we have a lot of impacts from blizzard is if we have those big spring storms when we're calving or we got young stock on the ground. And there isn't always the shelter we need. And shelter is always going to be important with all blizzards. And that's always a bottom line. You know how to run these livestock. You do it all the time. So let's think through some of these items. So those are the risk periods for blizzards. And if we have those in our head, we can be ready for some other stuff if it does happen at those unusual times. The other thing that I'm going to talk about is feed. And during blizzards, sometimes we'll see serious impacts when people can't get feed to livestock. So we always suggest having feed at least two or more locations. I know it's a pain in the neck sometimes, whether you're having it shipped in or whether you're putting it on a hay field. But it's always a good idea to have some on a high and dry spot, someplace that the wind will blow the snow off around the haystack. And it's real helpful if that's close to a livestock herd that you could drive them over to the side of the stack and feed by hand. I mean, it's always a possibility. So if you have stuff at more than one location, doesn't matter where the cattle are, you can get feed to them. It's worth it in our country to have at least a couple weeks worth of feed in two or three locations for your herd, so if we get one of those bad blows, you're ready. You can still deal with it. The other thing's access. Sometimes the snow's bad enough, we have a hard time getting to the cattle or getting to the sheep or getting to the hay or feed. And so it's important to have access. If the livestock's right next to a stack, even if it's a small one, you could use snowshoes and get out there, even if you don't own a snow machine. Go feed your livestock. And access is important, but here's another thought. If you put one or more of those stacks or feed sources at a location that's really close to a road that's maintained, hopefully by the state or the county, they'll blow that road open. You can get there and get to that feed. But you got to have something close to an access point, to a road system. And then the other thing is equipment. A number of blizzards we dealt with across the West hit people that operate in short grass prairie and they don't have snow cover only about once every 10 years. We don't normally see that here, but you need to have equipment that's ready both that early spring and fall so you can get through snow. And we've had storms anywhere from 20 inches to 49 inches, and then when they blow up, that can be an 8 or 10 foot drift. You got to have something big enough, heavy enough that you can get through there. Normally, we already have it geared up in the winter. We're kind of ready for that. Always think about that in the early fall and in the early spring, that have that equipment still ready to use. Then there's that 10-day in place rule that we use in disaster training. If you've got it so you got enough feed and access to keep your livestock alive and treated well, for 10 days, there's a chance that the system will help you deal with getting back to normal after a blizzard. Worst comes to worst, never forget your neighbors. If you have cattle on the other side of a ridge line or across the river and you can't get to them, maybe your neighbors can take care of yours and you can help somebody else that can't get to theirs. It's worth having discussions in advance. Sometimes we do it informally. Our neighbors are real well known to us. Even if you don't get along, have that discussion about helping each other in disasters. So let's talk about wildfires. We have those too. It seems like they go right along with that drought that we deal with. And wildfires, there's a couple important things. Know where your livestock is. If you have a big grazing area, check on them once in a while. Know where they're hanging, because you may need to know real quick if that fire comes up. A lot of the times our fires move anywhere from 3 miles an hour to 30 miles an hour. That can cover a lot of landscape. So know whether you got flash fields or not. If we had one of those dry springs that it grows a lot of annual grasses or weedy annual grasses and then it dries out again, you just generated a massive amount of flash fuel. If you have a chance in your grazing system to reduce that flash fuel before fire risk pops up, that's a great thing. Even cheatgrass is fairly usable if you graze it green enough, but that's pretty early. So know your emergency managers too. Know who the guy is or the woman is that's in charge of helping you if things go south. Get in contact with them, have their phone number, have them have yours. It's important. If a smoke plume goes up, he'll call you, or she will, and vice versa. So often as not, while we're sitting here in really droughty years, we've got a lot of flash fuel built up, and we're just praying that that summer storm or spring storm that's building up is going to drop rain on us. Even if it doesn't hit some of the neighbors, maybe it'll give us some. But often as not, we get that silly dry lightning, and it sets a fire, and next thing you know, you got a problem. So watch the sky, and if you have a summer storm, get up early and with the first light, check for problems. Here's a big one. Have two or more ways in and out. I can't tell you how many times on a disaster response branch that I've had producers drive up and a state trooper would not let them pass a boundary marker because there was a risk to those individual producers. So you got to have another access. And if you get in there to start moving herd out of the way of a fire to prevent losses, sometimes that fire moves and closes off the way you just came in. So you got to have more than one way, both in and out. It's really important. Plan it out that way. And if worst comes to worst, know where your fire breaks need to be. Most of us understand where the dominant winds coming in and hit us are from, say, about April until October. Know where those winds are and how they relate to, say, county roads or lakes or rivers or anything that might serve as a fire break. And manage your grazing so that that grazing gets hit pretty hard right there by that fire break. We're actually doing some studies and have done some studies on using cattle and prescribed grazing and electric fence to go along county roads and white and overgraze, basically, especially weedy annuals, overgraze it to the point where there's another 100 yards, almost no fuel. If something comes down and burns down to that fire break, it almost dies. And if every other neighbor does that along the windward side, next thing you know, the firefighters that just think you're the greatest guys that come along the pike, because they can control it if it stops every once in a while. And many of our ranchers are involved in volunteer firefighting, so it's an important tool. Manage your fire breaks. If you can, widen them. So when you're looking at blizzards and you're looking at wildfires, there are some things that you can do to mitigate losing livestock or losing resources because of those two natural incidents. So if you want more information, I'm Scott Cotton with the UW Extension System. I deal a lot with these disaster impacts, but you can contact any of our extension offices or specialists that are related to these fields, and we'll try to help you design a system specific to your site, your risk, and your operation. Thank you.